Peter chapter 3, please, in your Bibles. Let's go to a text of Scripture in 1 Peter chapter 3. I'm reading from the New King James Version. Let's see a passage or some passages. 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 10. 1 Peter 3, verse 10, "For he who would love life and see good days." Does that get your attention? Do you want to love life and see good days? And certainly, I believe contextually that has primary, ultimately its application with regards to things that have to do with eternity and the condition and the standing of our soul and our relationship before God as we think eternally. But there are applications certainly in the context to even be made in this life, right now, today. Do you want to love life and see days that are good? Here's what the Holy Spirit through Peter says. Well, refrain your tongue from evil, your lips from speaking what is deceitful or untrue. Turn away from evil, do good. Seek peace, pursue peace. For the eyes are over of the Lord are over the righteous. His ears are open to the prayers of the righteous. The face of the Lord is against those that do good. You want to love life and see good days. I am not surprised by the Holy Spirit of God saying, then you seek after what is good and you follow what is good rather than what is evil. And I'm not surprised or shocked by the Holy Spirit of God saying we are to be pursuers of peace if you want to love life and see good days. But you see where he starts? The tongue. The tongue is to be refrained from speaking what is evil. That word evil is an interesting word in the Greek because I believe if you study the word, you will come to the conclusion that I have come to. He's dealing with certainly speech that the Apostle Paul describes and says the Christian is to avoid in Ephesians 4 and Ephesians 5. Speech that is corrupt. Talk that is foolish. Joking that is out of place for one who claims to be a Christian. Speech that's unedifying. Discouraging. I believe that's the context of 1 Peter 3. Lips refraining from evil. But here's another context that scares me to death, to be quite frank, is what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 36 with regards to idle speech, idle words. That men will give an account of every idle word that's spoken. I believe that fits the evil speech of 1 Peter chapter 3. And then he also deals with what is untruthful. Now, I'm trying to be encouraging tonight and not discouraging. I'm trying to help and not hinder. But if you revisit just last week of your life and your speech, was there anything in your speech that you knew you were to avoid that you didn't avoid? Was there a corrupt word that came out of your mouth? Was there unwholesome speech? Was there empty and base language? Was there any idle speech? Did you tell a lie? Did you speak what is deceitful? These are things that Christians deal with on a regular basis. Someone that I was talking to not long ago said, "Paul, I want to give you some advice." I thought, oh boy. He said, "Read James chapter 3 regularly and pray Psalm 141 verse 3 daily." Read James chapter 3 regularly. You know that deals with the tongue. That's one of the greatest texts of Scripture in the New Testament that deals with the tongue. And he said, "Read James chapter 3 regularly and pray Psalm 141 and verse 3 daily." Psalm 141 and verse 3, "Set a guard over my mouth, O Lord." Here's what I'm doing. And I'm not in any way saying that what I'm doing, everyone else has to do. here's what I'm doing in September. September for me is a month of speech. Now, I'm not saying after September is over, then ignore what you say. September, the whole month, September, speech, say. I can remember that. Say, speech, September. September, what I say, what I speak. Every day, James chapter 3 and Psalm 141:3. Sticks and stones may break my bones. You're finishing it. But words will never hurt me. That's just crazy. Not true. I have never broken, confession, I have never broken anyone's bones with sticks or stones. But I've hurt people with my words. Words do hurt. And I didn't have to tell you that. You already knew that. Words do hurt. And I don't know about you, but what I've discovered in my life of 51 years and in my marriage of over 26 years, what I've discovered is the people that I hurt with my words the most are the people that I love the most. Why is that? Well, one of the reasons we're around them most of the time. Sometimes, and my desire to win an argument or my desire to be heard rather than to hear, my tongue gets me in a whole lot of trouble. And those that we hurt the most with our speech are the very ones that we do love the most. So tonight I want to talk about the tongue. And the Bible deals an awful lot with the tongue. And there's no way tonight that we can exhaust the subject. But in my speech and in your speech, in the month of September, watch what you say and watch how you say it. See, because that deals with the what you say, deals with the verbal, the words. And the how you say it, it deals with the tone or body language. You may say the right words and I may say the right words, but my body language and my inflection or my tone says, I don't really mean it. Watch what you say. Watch how you say it. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 18. I want to see a text in Proverbs chapter 18. Look at verse 22. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 22. Powerful passage, Proverbs 18 and verse 22. The tongue has the power, and James chapter 3 already tells us about the power of this little member, the tongue. Proverbs 18 and verse 22. The tongue has the power of life and death. Life and death. Choose life. Choose blessing. My words can help set the tone and the mood for someone for the entire day. You ever thought about that? If I leave in the morning and my speech has been speech that's not of life but of death, if I was unkind and critical of my wife when I left in the morning at 6 or 7 or 8, and she's facing for the rest of the day a very difficult task with the schedule and the kids, it's very difficult for her to deal with a difficult task and the difficulties of the day if I've torn her down at the beginning of that day. See, my words can set the tone and the mood for someone else for the entire day. Men, you go out into a hostile world. You have pressures and stresses and demands placed on your life that are at times unreasonable. and you work with people that don't want to bridle the tongue, and you work with people who aren't trying to watch their attitudes and actions, and you go into a hostile world in the beginning of each day, how hard is it, men, for you to deal with your schedule and to deal with life and to deal with your day and to deal with the pressures from co-workers and a boss if you've left the day where your wife has been cutting and critical and sapped you of needed energy with the words that she said or did not say? See, our words can set the tone or the mood for someone else for almost the entirety of a day. Watch your tongue. Let's go to another passage, Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Philippians chapter 2, 14 and 15. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says. Philippians chapter 2, beginning in 14. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and a perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Now that was the New King James Version. Do all things without grumbling and complaining or disputing. One translation says, do all things without complaining and arguing. Complaining and arguing. And I understand there's a context there. Maybe Paul is pressing some things that he wants to say to this church to help strengthen the unity among the saints at Philippi. But I'm focusing on complaining and arguing. The poison of pessimism will cripple a local church. It'll cripple a family. It'll cripple a home. The poison of pessimism. A tongue that complains. I believe a constant complaining tongue is the symptom, I believe the Bible teaches, of a heart problem. And most often, the constant complainer is the one who's ungrateful and unthankful. And I will tell you that ungrateful spirit and that unthankfulness can be passed along to others. A generation that grows up unthankful and eventually unholy. What speech that they hear at home? Is my tongue a tongue that constantly complains and constant arguing in the home? We know what it'll do to a local church, but surely we understand what it does in the home. Constant arguing in the home only invites the devil in. Constant arguing in a marriage and in a home only invites the devil in. Let me give us some passages here. Proverbs 10 and verse 19. Proverbs 10 and verse 19, when there are many words, transgression is unavoidable. But he who restrains his lips is wise. When there are many words, that means if the mind just goes into neutral and the tongue goes into overdrive and you speak and you speak and you talk and you talk, the more you speak and the more you talk, the more trouble you're going to get yourself in. Many words, transgression unavoidable. There's wisdom in this text. James 1 and verse 19, some of you were already going there in your mind. James 1 and verse 19, let every man be swift to what? Hear, slow to what? Speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. What are we after? The righteousness of God. What's going to hinder the righteousness of God? The wrath of man. And James gives great advice here. Wisdom. God's wisdom. So, okay. Slow in your speech. More ready to listen and to hear than you are to speak. Now, the constant arguing, and I said, and the bickering and the fighting, all of that, it invites the devil in. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 26 and 27, Paul says, in your anger, do not sin. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. In your anger, do not sin. But verse 27, neither give place to the devil. One translation says, do not give the devil an opportunity. See how that fits the context? See how that's a follow-up to in your anger, do not sin. In my anger, There's an emotion that gets out of control that affects purity of speech and edification in speech. When emotions get out of control, when emotions go into overdrive, then my tongue gets out of control. And then the devil is given room to do his work. And so a soothing tongue, Proverbs 15 and verse 4, a tongue that brings healing. Remember, life and death is in the power of the tongue. So here is a soothing tongue, Proverbs 15 and verse 4. Here's a tongue that brings healing. It's a tree of life, but perversion in the tongue or cruelty of speech. This is where I want you to hear this. Perversion in the tongue, cruelty of speech crushes the spirit. Crushes the spirit. And so the Holy Spirit of God, through the pen of the Apostle Paul, says the arguing and the complaining, if you want to be blameless and harmless without fault in the midst of a crooked and a perverse generation, as whom you shine as lights in the world, deal with your speech. Watch your speech. Poison of pessimism, complaining, and arguing. And then finally, number three, strengthen others with your speech. That's the Ephesians 4:29. A word that is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so that it may give grace to those who hear. Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Proverbs 12. And verse 18, a person finds joy in giving an appropriate reply. How good is a timely word? Proverbs 15 and verse 23. Or a word spoken at the right time is like gold apples on a silver tray. Proverbs 25 and verse 11, the right word at the right time. How beautiful. There's someone that you know, whether a part of this local family or in the kingdom in some other place, there is someone that you know that is weak and vulnerable, and they need words of encouragement. There's someone that you may know who's just wayward. Whether they have been caught in a trespass, they've been tripped up, they weren't looking for it, they weren't searching for it, it found them and it tripped them up. And they're wayward. They're in trouble spiritually. They need a word of correction. They need a word of admonition. You see, the writer says, words that are good for building up according to the need of the moment. What's the need of the moment? Maybe the need of the moment that you seize is speaking words and seeing the power in these words. I love you. Or maybe the need of the moment is to speak words that say, I am sorry. Or maybe the need of the moment are the words that say, you can do better. And I want to help you to do better. Or maybe the words according to the need of the moment are, what were you thinking? I'm serious about that one. It's okay to say to someone, what were you thinking? Action follows thought. And if the thought is not godly, if the thought is not spiritual, if the thought is carnal and selfish, then the words will tend to be carnal and selfish. What were you thinking? Were you more interested in winning the argument than you were the soul? Were you more interested in being heard than you were in listening? What were you thinking? The need of the moment. And the point is that it will give grace to those who hear. One of my favorite passages here that connects to Ephesians 4 is Colossians 4. It's easy for me to remember because Ephesians 4 and Colossians 4. It's Colossians 4 and verse 6. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer each one. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt. I'm addicted to salt. The reason I like salt is because it flavors what I eat. It flavors what I eat. It makes what is in front of me more enjoyable. Do you flavor the life of others? Does your speech add flavor to your marriage? Does your speech add flavor to this church? Do you pray about, do you think about what you ought to say before you say it? Those are just words tonight to encourage us. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. The words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart. Those always must be connected because it's out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. If you're here tonight and there's something in your life that you need help with, seek the Lord for that help. If you're here tonight and there's something in your life that you need someone that has skin and bones to them to help you, seek that help of another Christian. And if we can pray for you tonight, that's what we want to do. But if you're here tonight and you're outside of God's fellowship, you've yet to render faith in the name of Jesus and to come to Jesus to have your sins forgiven by His blood, can we offer that to you tonight? The pardon of your sins and the forgiveness of your sins, the salvation that only comes through Jesus, the Lamb of God. If you're here tonight and you believe that Jesus is who He said He was, are you willing to come to Him in faith, to surrender your life to Him, and to be immersed in water, to have your sins washed free? Can we help you tonight spiritually in any way? Won't you come while together we stand and while we sing?